You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
When the pastor called me yesterday and asked me if I would preach today, and I'll be honest with you. Under the situation, I'd much rather our pastor be here. I know that, it's like he told me yesterday. He says, you know, Moe, said, I do not understand how people that are not Christians can face death, can face this kind of a situation in their life. And I know that many people have to do that. But he said, I just don't know how they do it. And I don't either. I just can't fathom. I've lost both of my parents. I've lost a daughter, and it wasn't easy. But I can tell you, because I had God in my heart, because I had the comfort and the peace and the joy in my life, I could go through that. And I know that it'll be with Mike. Mike is and the family is doing good there. But anyway, when I was studying, thinking about what I wanted to preach and ask God for His wisdom and His knowledge, and I'm going to get into it here in a minute. But you know, when we were singing tonight, talking about praise and worship, talking about being in His presence and letting Him just engulf you with His love. And find yourself, like Cheryl said, nobody but you and Him. That's when the presence of God, that's when you can hear God, that's when God can speak to you, that's when God can tell you what He wants you to do. He can share things with you during those intimate moments when you're praising and worshiping Him. I was at the food bank this past week, and I got to share this with Davey and a couple others. And it's so sweet because it shows you just what the Holy Ghost can do in a person's life. I had a video. Jerry sent it to me. I think communication in everybody's household anymore, it's either texting or emailing each other. I don't know what happened. I think smoke signals might even be better. But anyway, I got a text. I mean, got a email from her that she'd got from someone, and it was a video. And I looked at that video. And she's saying, "So cute." And when I looked at that video, I thought, "Oh." It hurt me because I thought, why am I not doing this? Why am I not so concerned? Why am I not soaked in with God, just like you were talking about, Cheryl? It was this little boy, probably 2 years old, right? Sitting in a car seat, in the back seat, and they were playing some gospel music. And it was Southern Gospel. Of course, I like Southern Gospel. Not that I don't like other, but I do like Southern Gospel. And they were playing this song, and this little kid was back here in the back. And if I could put it on the video here, I would. But he was clapping his hands like this, had his eyes closed, rolling his hands back like this. And he's keeping beat of the music, and then he goes like this. And then he's like this, and he just his head's back and forth and right. And I mean, he went through this for a while. Tears began to roll down my cheeks, and I said, "Oh, to be like a baby, to be so soaked up, to be God. Why can't I be like that? You know, because we got all the cares of this world, we've got all the things of this world that are interfering, and he doesn't have anything. He's been in church apparently." Apparently, he's seen his mom and daddy doing just that. And I'm telling you, he was so... Anybody want to see it after church? I got it. But it was so dynamite. And I told Jerry, I said, you know, I get down. Things not going my way. I'm going to turn that video on. Because here was someone that was, he doesn't know a lot about probably what he was doing, but there's one thing about it, he was worshiping God. And if he continues in that vein, he is going to be a very strong, a strong Christian, probably a good gospel singer somewhere. But anyway, I thought it was so good because when you worship God, you do get lost. And when you get lost in Him, then that's when He can speak to you. That's when He can tell you. That's when He can do the things that He needs to do. And then the other things I wanted to mention is at the food bank, and I do say this quite a bit, but you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. At the food bank, there's miracle signs and wonders that's happening. It's happening because there's people that are coming in there hungry initially for food. But when they get a touch of the Holy Spirit, when they get a touch of the compassion and the love of God on their lives, then they begin to become hungry for the Word of God. They become hungry for the prayer. They become hungry. And then the word of their testimony, the word of their testimony, not mine, their testimony coming in and saying, oh, no mas cancer. Or, I got that job that we prayed about. Yeah. Hey, guess what? My son just come back home. Just one thing after another. It's the word of their testimony is showing that they have overcome. They have overcome because of the prayers, and now they're wanting to come to get prayer and don't care if there's any food there. Just pray for me. And when I see that, I think about the hungry. I think about the lack of teaching. The lack of church, the lack of these folks not getting the teaching that they need, because we have an opportunity to share. Not only do we pray for them, well, I have an opportunity to and Debbie does too. All of us at work out there have an opportunity to teach them. And believe me, I do. I had a girl come in the other day. I'd been praying about a situation. She come in with a piece of paper. Said, look. And it says, not guilty. It's a piece of paper that she had been in the court. She had been, charges had been pressed against her erroneously. She decided to take it to court. We prayed about it, that she'd have the favor of God on it. And when she come in the other, she told me about it. And when she came in this past week, she showed me the paper. Not guilty. That's the paper that Jesus has got. Not guilty. I find no fault with him. Oh, goodness. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is overcoming fear. It was... It's going to be titled something else, folks. It's Overcoming Fear. I am convinced that there's a couple of things, probably more, but a couple of things that I want to center in tonight that I think is the reason why we don't see things happen in our life the way that we want them to and the way that God wants them to. One of them is fear, which I think covers a big variety of things that we have to deal with. But fear and the lack of knowledge. We all know that fear is a false evidence appearing real, don't we? We know it's a lie from the devil. If the devil can get us into fear about anything, if he can get us to start worrying, he can get us in fear, he can get us in doubt, then he's got us exactly where he wants us, and you're not going to get an answer from God. Because you're in doubt, you're in fear, you're not confident in what you're praying. All you're doing is giving prayer lip service. All you're doing is going into a prayer closet somewhere and you're just saying words. You're not getting serious. Because the devil is going to put fear. Let me tell you, how many in you here has ever been afraid of anything? Come on. That's everybody in here, right? How many of you are afraid of snakes? I killed three of them in the last 2 weeks. One of them was a cottonmouth, and Jerry almost picked it up, and the other one was a copperhead. But you know what? I don't like them. And I'm not going to say I'm afraid of them. But I'm not as confident as I ought to be sometimes. But what I was going to say, everyone in here has had something or some situation in their life that's caused fear. There's a lot of times when, let's just say for instance, when financial issues come up. You got a bill that's coming due and you don't have the money in the bank to pay for it or the money in your wallet to make the payment on it. You get in fear. You get in fear, don't you? Now, how can you pray to God and believe Him for an answer if you're sitting there afraid that they're going to take your car away from you, afraid you're going to take the house away from you, or afraid that you're going to starve to death, or afraid that you're not... And you know, the devil puts it right here. See, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. But Jesus said, I come. I overcame that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. That you might have it more abundantly. So, He's promised us life. He's promised that He would give us everything that we needed. He said that He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. But still we get into situations in our life to where we are in fear and in doubt. It doesn't happen in the time frame that we want it to happen. So we're concerned about it. We really get in fear. We get in fear for not being accepted. Kids in school, if they're not accepted in school, boy, they get fearful fearful that I can't be accepted by my peers. And a lot of times those peers, those people that their peers, for instance, is generally the ones that's going to lead them down the wrong pathway. But it's peer pressure, so they get in fear. I'm just giving you a few things that we have fear of. We have fear for going under. We're not going to make it. We're going to die with this sickness. We're going to die with this cancer. This cancer is eating me up. These shakes are bothering me, Brother Raymer. They're not anymore, praise God. Amen. Cancer is no more on this young lady that we prayed for the other day. Big tumor right here. Right. Not there anymore. Amen. Went to the doctor and there's no more. No mas tumor, she says. No mas cancer. Gone. I don't speak Spanish, but I understood that when she come through there raising her hand and saying, no mas cancer. It's ending like that runaway right there in that little room. Because let me tell you, that's the power of God that is working in the lives of people that are believing and trusting God. They didn't really understand the prayers that we were praying. I don't pray in Spanish. I pray in English. And I ask them if they understand. And I call Maury. I said, come here. But see, they don't have anything. They really don't have, well, I'm not going to say they didn't have anything to be fearful. They did have something to be fearful. But what they found out that there was a way that they could beat cancer. There was a way that they could get out of financial difficulties. There was a way that they could win over the courts and the law. God, you see, God gives us divine favor of God. The divine favor of God is on us. The grace of God is His divine favor. And when we have God's divine favor in our life, then we're going to win when we go into these court issues. We're going to win when we're facing situations in our life that looks like we can't do it because God gives us the favor to do that. If He gives you favor, then you've got the favor of it. You've got the ability to win. You've got Hey, I want God to fight my battles for me. How about you? Do you want the devil fighting your battles for you? The devil's not going to do it. The devil's going to lead you right into that situation. You're going to keep believing him, and you're going to keep trusting him, and you're going to keep listening to him, and you're going to fall off the cliff over here, and you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your car, you're going to get sick with cancer, and you're going to die. That's what the devil wants to do for you. But if you'll stand strong, like David did with Goliath, and says, you're not coming against the army of the living God. You're not going to do that. Because my God is greater than you. You know, I look at people a lot of times when I pray for them, I says, God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than that. How about your God? Are you a Christian? Yes. Then your God is bigger than that. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe that situation. Don't believe that that's going to happen to you. Because God will take you out of that. If you'll only believe, you'll only trust, He'll take you out of it. The other thing we worry about, lack of finances. Right now, with the way I see a lot of people when they come through, they'll say, well, I don't have a car. I don't have, I don't have any money. Like, I don't have enough gas to get home in. It was just talking lack. There's one girl come in and said she didn't have any gas to get home in, and she didn't know what she was going to do, and I just prayed with her. And, you know, she come back the next week, and she says, you know what? I went out there at the car, and I put my groceries in that car, and I got in, and I cranked that thing up, and I had a quarter tank of gas, and I had enough gas to go till today. It was empty when I come in here. You think God doesn't care? God, He wants you to have. He wants you to have these things, but He wants you to believe in. He wants you to trust Him. And you know, if we're not operating in fear, now listen to this. If we're not operating in fear, the devil cannot operate in our lives. Did you know that? Because if we're not operating in fear, we're operating in faith. And faith is for all, I trust Him. Now we're getting into the area to where God can move and direct and use us in our life. We got faith working for us. We've got everything that we have centered in on trusting Him to meet this situation. No doubt, no fear. No, it may happen, it may not happen. Eva can tell you, she can tell you story after story after story how checks come in when she didn't have money, but it come in the missionary field when she needed it.
Even here.
I've had that situation happen to me. I had one not too long ago. I wasn't even looking. I needed some money in a particular situation, and I was working in my office. Doing some work here in the office, and I reached down and picked up this envelope. Hadn't been open. Gosh, it'd been here for a couple of days, maybe longer than that. Oh, it had been there longer than that. It had, because I looked at the date on it. I opened it up, and it's $400 or $500 sitting there in that envelope. I didn't even have any idea that I had that coming. You know where it come from? Now I had to look see what it was, but it was a situation it was a total surprise to me. But you know, it wasn't for God. God knew I needed that. It takes fear in order for the devil to manifest himself. Did you know that? If we fear, if we put fear in our lives, then it opens a door for the devil to start operating. And I see this time and time and time and time again. People are fearful when they walk in. There's people that walk in out there that are absolutely afraid to even go to bed at night, not knowing what's going to happen through the night, not knowing what kind of situation they're going to have. It's tragic. But that's where the devil has got a lot of us. He's got us in fear. He's got us in condemnation. He got us in situations in our life to where we can't see the glory of God because we're thinking about everything else but God. We got to center in on Him, Gerald. You're right. I like this one. Where there is no fear, we paralyze the devil. Hallelujah. God says not to be fearful, not for one moment. He said in here, I want to read you right here, going to Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, or don't be confused, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now you can just take that part right there and start asking yourself a question, why do I fear? Every time that somebody come to Jesus, like the centurion, for instance, that went to Jesus and his daughter was dying, very sick, and they come and told him that she had died, first thing Jesus did, he turned around and says, fear not, just believe. Fear not, just believe. Fear not, just believe. You don't think I'm big enough to handle it? I like that idea. Hey, my God is bigger than that problem. My God is bigger than that situation. My God has more money than those people do. My God cares for me. He loves me. He loves you too, Eva. He loves you, Frank. But he loves me. And when you can get that personal with Him, and you can center in on Him, then God can begin to speak. You can begin to hear the voice of God. God will begin to tell you the things that He wants you to do. He'll begin to share those things in secret to you. You know, when you and your wife, or you and your wife, I'm talking, when you and your spouse are maybe not in total agreement with situations in your life, you can't always hear the sweetness. You can't always hear those little because you're in discord, and you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear the other answer over here. You want to hear yours. But see, God wants us to hear what He wants us to hear His word. He wants to hear His voice, and let us know what He wants us to do. Folks, God wants to move so strongly in our lives. He wants to see each and every one of us be financially blessed. He wants to see everyone in our to be healed. He wants every need in our life to be met. He wants us to walk in His presence and walk in His strength, walk in His anointing, walk like Elijah did, walk like Jesus did. Or you just reach out and you put your hand on somebody and they're healed instantly, 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 instantly. Why is that? It's the power of the anointing of God and the faith that He has given us and the ability that He's given us to believe. You know, we listen to what Slewfoot has to tell us over here. Oh, you can't make it. You know they're going to come get that car. You haven't made payment in 3 months on that thing. Bank don't want that car. Truth is, they don't want your house either. They want you to make payments on that. But the devil wants to get you in a situation in your life to where you have to work 3 or 4 jobs. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do a lot of different things. You have to change a lot of things in your life. Get away from your family and do things that you don't normally would normally not want to do to try to make ends meet. But God says, hey, if you'll believe me, you'll trust me, you'll stand on my word, I'll pull you out of this situation. It may be tough for a while, but let me tell you something. Those that persevere will overcome. Those that will stand strong in the faith of God will always overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And I'll tell you what, if God ever did it for you one time, He's obligated to do it again. If He ever healed you one time, He's obligated to heal you again. If He ever pulled you out of a financial mess one time, He's obligated to do it again. If he ever anointed you and caused you to run, He wants you to do it again. Listen, I think the things that are missing a lot of times in each and every one of us is the anointing that God wants to give us, the power that He wants to bestow upon us. Because I can tell you, person that's walking in the presence of God, you can walk into a room and you can see the glow upon them. You can see them shine. You can see it in their eyes. You can see the love. We're living in a time, the end time, but we're living in a time where God's power is going to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And those of us that are standing on the Word of God, those of us that are in His presence, those of us that are making it one-on-one, those of us that are spending time in praise and worship and thanking Him are the ones that's going to see the benefit, going to reap the benefit. They're going to see the things that's going to happen in our life. I'll tell you what, if you've never laid your hands on a person and they recovered from a serious illness, ask God to do that for you. If you've never seen a sign or a miracle, ask God to show you one. Because if you've ever experienced it, if you've ever seen it, you've ever been around it, you don't want it to ever go away. I've seen services where I've been in that the anointing was so strong that it was just like a vapor. And it was almost like you could almost cut it with a knife. It was so thick. The anointing was so strong that you didn't ever want to ever leave that situation. You never wanted, "Don't let me wake up, Lord. Let me stay right here in this. And that's where we're headed, folks. We're headed for a place that God has provided for us. Jesus went back and built us a home and a mansion that we're going to spend eternity in. But while we're on the face of this earth, we've got a work to do. And one of them is to defeat the devil in our own lives. How in the world can we help somebody else if we don't do it in our own life? We've got to get our own life squared away. We've got to get our own life set up. We've got to get our own work done before we can do it for others. Because how in the world can you testify? How can you tell somebody how to do something? How can you preach to somebody if you haven't followed the Word of God? Amen. If you don't believe in healing, you sure don't want to be laying hands on somebody to heal them, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen just because that person is a believer. I mean, that person may get healed, but it won't be because of your anointing. It's because of their strength. Hallelujah. Y'all may not be getting much of it, but I sure am. We cannot be given any place to the devil. None. If you give him 1 inch, he'll take every bit of it. And then you'll be sorry. It's like when I was ministering in prisons. I was in a prison one time down by, I think it was down by Palestine. And we were ministering. And the anointing hit me, and I just began to preach. I just began to share, and I began to talk. And I told them, I really thought, because I hadn't been in prison very much. And I figured they might run me out of there or lock me up when this one was over with, because I told them, I said, "I want to tell you something. Guys, there's not a one of you in here that first cigarette that you smoked or that first joint that you smoked or that first beer that you had or that first pill that you took is not why that you're in here. It's that second one. It's that third one. It's that fourth one. It's that fifth one. Sin will take you further than you want to go. I said, what you did is you followed what the devil wanted you to do, and you just kept on following. He kept leading you until he got a hold of you, and then he tried to ruin your life. You see where you're at? You see where the devil has brought you? He brought you into a place of destruction. But if you turn right around and do it the other way, if you give God the glory, you make God number one in your life, and you follow His instructions, and you follow the steps that He set out for you, for your life, then you're going to get better and better and better and better. And sin will go further and further and further away from you. If you deal with fear, you have to deal with unbelief. If your faith is not strong, no word, no faith. If your word level is low, your faith level is going to be low. If your word level is high, your faith level is going to be high. The time that we spend in prayer, the time that we spend reading the Word, studying, and meditating on the Word, those things should bring us to a place where we can hear the voice of God. It's like I said a while ago, you can go into your prayer room, and I know I've been guilty of this, and I imagine everyone in here probably has, but you can go into your prayer room, and I like to pray late at night sometimes, right before I go to bed. Get into a dark room and just be in God. Tell Him how much I love Him. But you know, there's many, many a time that I know I've went in. I said, man, I need to hurry up and get through this, you know. I'm tired and sleepy and I want to go to bed. But, you know, I got to do this. Why? If you can go with that attitude, you might as well go on to bed. But I find that when I spend my time with Him, and it's good quality time that I've spent with Him, boy, when I go to bed, I sleep like a baby. I'm refreshed when I get up in the morning. My attitude is good. But you know, on the other hand, if you don't, then you feel remiss. You feel like you really didn't do anything. You feel like you didn't follow through. And you didn't. If you went in with that kind of an attitude, you didn't follow through with God, what God would want you to do. I think God is He loves attention. He loves to spend time with us. And I think about how He spent with Adam and Eve and how He would come down in the cool evening to communicate with them, to walk with them, to share with them, to just be a part of them. You know, He did that because He loved them so much. And He desired the communication. And when He come down, He couldn't find them. Don't you know he felt hurt? He knew what went on. But He was hurt. It's just like we hurt God when we don't spend. I look at it this way. If I don't spend every day with Him, and I don't spend some good quality time with Him every day, I really feel that I missed out on a good communication with my Father that day. And it's just like me talking to one of my children. I like to talk to my kids every day if I can. I love that communication. I like to know what's going on. Not that I'm being nosy, but I do like to know what's going on. And I've got a good relationship with my family, and they do share with me. But you know, if I miss that, or if they're gone on a trip and I don't have that opportunity to talk to them, you know, I get real lonesome for that. My Father gets lonesome when I don't speak to Him. My Father gets lonesome when I don't spend time with Him. My Father gets he gets concerned because he knows something's not right if you don't make that phone call, if you don't make that time. But breakthrough will come from the Word from God, from His voice. You know, you can read the Word all day long, and you can get it in you, but until you hear that voice from God, until you get a personal with Him, you're not going to be in the place that He wants you to be in. You know, this is not the shouting and running type of message that I like to preach. The anointing just flowing and rolling. But you know what? This is important to us. We have some promises when things are going on around us. Jesus said over in Psalm, or the word said in Psalms 33:18-19, said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." So you know, right now, with the way the things are in this world, the crisis that we see and we hear about, and we hear it every day. If you watch the news, you know that there's crisis everywhere. But we in the body of Christ, we're not in the crisis mode. We shouldn't be. Now, the devil wants us to get that way. He wants us to be like everybody else. He wants us to be in that crisis mode, push that panic button, and do things that are not right. But we're in the increase mode. We're in the mode where we're going to be the successful one. We're going to be the ones that are going to make it. We're not moved by what we see. I like that scripture right up here. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see, because the things that we see are on the things that are going on are just temporal. But hey, we've got a home in heaven, and God has already provided everything that we need on the face of this earth. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be totally successful in everything that we do. I'm going to wrap this up. I had some other things I wanted to, but time can get away from you when you're enjoying yourself. But back over on Isaiah 41, verse 10, I'm going to read that again in a couple other scriptures where it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that they were incensed against thee shall be," Behold, all that they were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee, they shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now look, those four scriptures right there I just read has told me everything that I need to know about fear, about why I shouldn't fear. Because He says, "Don't fear, for I'm with thee. Don't be confused, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee, the right hand. And when your enemies comes against you, hey, I'm going to take care of them. What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? My God is bigger than that problem. I want to leave that with you tonight. God is bigger than the problem that you've been facing. God is bigger than any problem that you will face. You got to put Him first. Trust Him. I can tell you right now, Brother Reamer has been fighting a big battle for a long time. Been fighting a big battle. And if he had took what the devil told him, he'd still be shaking. Amen. He's still shaking, but it ain't because of that. It's because of the anointing and power of God that's on him. God touched him. God gave wisdom and knowledge. He stayed true to what God's Word said. And if we do that, then we'll have what we want and what we desire and what God wants for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to us tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, that we'll trust in you. We'll put all of our trust in you. The faith of God will be upon us. And God, that we'll see all of the answers to all of our prayers. And God, that we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. Father, we thank you for it and praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.